let's start with all the devices. Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another semester of Rabbi's Desk Shiurim. Having said that, next week I won't be here. So next week I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem, for my third and looks like final trip of the year to Eretz Yisrael. So I will not be able to give shiur next week. But then after that, we should be back on schedule. So let's go through two shilas that I got recently, and you'll tell me which one you'd rather talk about. So one shila is as follows. Hi, Rav. I was wondering if you thought it would be mutter to join a challenge vaccine trial for hepatitis C. Background, in case you aren't familiar, in a human challenge trial, healthy volunteers are exposed to a disease in a controlled setting, testing vaccines and other critical medical research. It was an idea that gained popularity during COVID, as we knew vaccines could save many lives if developed quicker. So why not intentionally expose young, healthy people to COVID after giving them an experimental vaccine to test it, since we know young people will almost definitely survive COVID regardless. And in this way, they test the efficacy of vaccines in the course of days instead of months. I thought this was an incredible idea and joined an organization that advocates for these trials and is trying to get one in the works for hepatitis C. I was planning to join, but to be honest, I don't think I fully considered all the halacha considerations. To me, it felt very similar to giving blood, but I realize now that it may be more complex. Please let me know your thoughts. Thanks. I think that was the plot of an episode of The Simpsons, if I'm not mistaken. But okay. But I think Homer was a... All right, anyways. So a second shaila. Hi, Rav Leibowitz. My name is Akiva, and I am currently in the Israeli Navy. All right, he got my attention, right? So, and then he really got my attention. We ensure that no Palestinian boats enter the forbidden area by the Israeli naval border. On Shabbos day, we eat chalent that's made with a heter of Kidra Chaita. Right, we just took a turn over there in the Shaila. Right? What does the Navy and Palestinian boats have to do with chalent? Here's what it has to do with chalent. Sometimes on Friday night, a Palestinian boat just enters the restricted area, and the captain needs to decide if he wants to approach the boat. If we approach the boat, we'll need to take the chalent off the plata because it will spill. The concern is that the captain will decide not to approach the boat because it's not halachically allowed to put the chalent back on the plata, and the chalent will be ruined. Does the Rav think that it may be permitted to put the chalent back on the plata since it's similar to the case of a doctor driving back from a hospital on Shabbos? Meaning he's concerned that the captain's going to decide not to approach the Palestinian boat because then he won't have his chalent the next day. Now, mind you, if he doesn't approach the Palestinian boat, he also might not have his chalent the next day. Okay, so that is the, so he wants to know, can you put it back on, even though it's usher to do that, because otherwise you may be risking something much more severe. So those are our two shilas, human trial for hepatitis C vaccine and sacrificing national security to save your chalent. So let's do Zoom votes and live votes. Let's start with the live people. All those who want a human trial for hepatitis C vaccine. Okay, and all those who want to talk about national security to save your chalent. Okay, it looks like more challenge votes, and the Zoom votes are coming in the other direction. Oh no!
Were you verified with the Navy?
I did not reach out to the Israeli Navy to verify the story. What?
It's a prankster, maybe.
You think the Shiloh's a prankster?
Yeah.
I don't think I get so many prank shilas. Maybe I do. It never even occurred to me. I don't know.
He wanted to get on the show.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Navy and the and sacrificing national security to save the child. So first of all, he made an assumption that everyone's familiar with the concept called Kidra Chaita. So are we all familiar with Kidra Chaita? Okay, so let's start with that. What heter is he talking about that they use to make their challenge on Shabbos that we're normally not, you know, that seems to be a chiddush of some sort? So there is an issur d'rabbanan in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Bishul the Shabbos, called Shehiya. Shehiya means that you're not allowed to leave food cooking on a fire into Shabbos. Hilchos Bishul the Shabbos is fascinating because it's in two simanim in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Reishon Gimel, Reishon Gimel, Reishon Dal, but Reishon Gimel and Shin Yud Ches. and like in between you have 70 other simanim of Hilchos Shabbos. Why in the world is it spread? And not only that, Bishul Midaraisas Shin Yivches, Bishul Midrabanan is Reishon Gimel. Why would the Shulchan Aruch arrange it in that way? I was talking to Rav Rimon when he was by us for Shabbos, and he asked me what order I'm teaching Hilchos Nida in, because I told him I'm teaching Hilchos Nida this year. So I said the first time I taught it, I just went in order of the Siman, because that's how the Shulchan Aruch wrote it. So I figured that's what makes the most sense. He said, and how do you teach Bishul to Shabbos? You know, like, it doesn't make the most sense to do it in the order that the Shulchan Aruch wrote it. So in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, the Shulchan Aruch wrote it in the order that you experience it. Meaning, Bishul b'Shabbos on a Daraisa level could only happen on Shabbos. Anything you do before Shabbos is not going to be a violation of Bishul b'Daraisa on Shabbos. But there are dinim d'rabbanan related to Bishul b'Shabbos that relate already on Erev Shabbos, such as Hatmana b'davar amosef hevel, right? You're not allowed to be matmin, you're not allowed to insulate with something that adds heat already on Erev Shabbos. And one of the yisurim d'rabbanan that apply on Erev Shabbos is the yisurim d'rabbanan called shihiyah, that you're not allowed to leave something that is not yet fully cooked, cooking into Shabbos, even though your maisa bishul is when you put it on the fire, and that's on Erev Shabbos, but you're not allowed to leave it cooking into Shabbos. That's the issur called shihiyah. So how do you solve shihiyah? So very simply, the way you solve shihiyah is by making the flame garuf v'katum. You put a blech on the flame. As long as you have a blech covering the fire, you have some sort of foil or a piece of metal, a sheet of metal, used to be the most common type of a blech that's covering the fire, then you can leave it cooking even though it wasn't cooking before Shabbos. But to just have something cooking going into Shabbos on an open flame or in an oven is an iser derabbanan called shihiyah. Now, if it's already fully cooked before Shabbos starts, then you can leave it in the oven going into Shabbos, that's fine. But if it's not yet fully cooked, machlokas chananiyah and lechamim, exactly how cooked it has to be. But we're machmir lechadchila certainly that it's got to be fully cooked before Shabbos starts. Now that's the isur shihiyah. Comes along the chachavim and they say, you know, there is a way around this. If a person were to take something, what's the concern of shihiyah? Why can't you leave something cooking into Shabbos? The concern is that you're going to come home from shul on Friday night. You're going to check your pot roast or whatever that you're cooking into Shabbos, and you're going to see it's not cooking fast enough, and that it's not really quite ready yet. And then you're going to start playing with the fire. You're going to stoke the coals to raise the flame to make it cook more quickly. That's the concern of shihiyah, and that's why covering the fire is what solves the concern of shihiyah. Because if you cover the fire, you're not going to stoke the fire. You're not going to play with the fire, right? That's the idea. But say the chamin, and in this pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, what if you have something where stoking coals won't help? It's just not going to be ready anyway. Meaning you take a piece of very tough raw meat and you put it up on the fire right before Shabbos, like a minute before Shabbos. So no matter how much you stoke the coals, it's not going to be ready for your Friday night meal. And you won't need to stoke the coals for it to be ready for your Shabbos day meal, because it's got all night to cook. So for your Shabbos day meal, we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. And for your Friday night meal, it's not going to help, because it's a kidra chaisa. It is a raw item that takes a long time to cook, and no amount of playing with the flame is going to make it ready for the Friday night meal. That's the concept. So is that clear? Shulchan Aruch in Reishon and Gimel Sif Aleph says that if it was chai shalo nisbashal klal, it had to be something that was totally raw when Shabbos starts. Then we assume you'll be masiach daito mimena. You're not gonna think about it when you come home on Friday night until the next day when you want to use it. And if you leave it cooking all night, it's for sure gonna get cooked the next day without chitoy. So there's no chash of shem yichata b'kchal that you might come to stoke the coals. Now, Magen Avram says, yeah, but you got to put it on the fire right before Shabbos. Meaning, if let's say you're thinking about putting up a challenge for Shabbos, and for some reason you can't do it on a blech, you got to do it directly on an open flame, and it's 2 hours before Shabbos, the better thing to do is to wait, right? To put it up 2 hours before Shabbos, there's no way it's going to get cooked in that amount of time. Or let's say, you know, an hour before Shabbos, it's not going to get cooked in that amount of time. The better thing to do is wait till right before Shabbos, and then put it up right before Shabbos, so that it's a kidra chaita, right? That would be the din, and that's what we paskin. However, Magen Avraham says you have to make sure that you put it up samuch l'chasheicha mamish, meaning you can't put it up like, you know, too long before Shabbos. It's got to be right before Shabbos. So in the Sefer Shvisa Shabbos, he says that according to the Magen Avraham, it's Saruch Ian im shayich biyameinu heter zeh. Not so clear this heter would still work. Why? Why? Why is it not so clear this heter would still work nowadays? Because he says, Einonu regilin la'acher milakabel Shabbos ha'chasheicha mamish. You have to put it up right before Shabbos starts. We're mekabel Shabbos early, always. So we're never still in the kitchen doing things right before Shabbos starts. We're always mekabel with Tosefes Shabbos and everything else, especially if you live in Yerushalayim. Right? In Yerushalayim, you know the minute. What's the minute in Yerushalayim? 40 minutes before Shkia, like way early. So the minute gives me mekabel Shabbos very, very early in Yerushalayim. So you never have this heter. That is, they say that Rav Shlomo Zalman says it really depends on Shkia, not your personal Kabbalah Shabbos. Meaning before Shabbos means you got to put it up right before Shkia. But you've already been Kabbalah Shabbos way before that, so then it would never apply. On the other hand, in Rav Simcha Ben Kohn's Sefer on Bishul B'Shabbos, are you familiar with this? What's it called? Shabbos Kitchen. Great, if you ever want to learn like Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, and you don't have time to really learn Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, and you just want to become familiar with the principles and how things play out practically, I always recommend, even before people open a Mishnah Berurah and try to learn Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, read the Shabbos Kitchen. He just spells it out so clearly. And then once you're familiar with all the concepts, and once you're familiar with the principles, then you'll be able to learn the Mishnah Berurah so much more clearly. You'll be able to learn not just Mishnah Berurah, the sugyas and everything else. It's a good idea. So in that Sefer, he has a footnote where he writes that Lo azlinan rak basar echus habishul bishas kabbalah Shabbos. He says, it depends on when you're Mekabel Shabbos. It doesn't depend on Shkia. So as long as you put it up right before your Mekabel Shabbos, that's good enough. That's also called the Kidra Chaita. So you have this Machlokas. But anyway, this guy's assuming that Kidra Chaita is a thing, that we're allowed to rely on it, that we're allowed to, and that's what they're doing in the Israeli Navy, apparently. They're putting up the Chalim right before Shabbos on the naval boat. Now, there are a lot of reasons to assume that Bisman Hazeh, we should not rely on this heter. First of all, Shlomo Zalman of Yashiv held that Bisman Hazeh, our ovens are so hot that you can never discount the possibility that it will be ready for that night's meal. Meaning, and very often our meals go so long that you can never discount the possibility that it will be ready for, meaning maybe you'll have chocolate for dessert on your Friday night meal. Meaning if you have one of these super long meals, I'm not so into the super long meals, but I'm sure you've all been at those, you know, where you want to blow your brains out. But, you know, if you're at one of these super long meals, it's hard to apply the heter of Kidra Chaita. That's what Shlomo Zalman of Eliyashiv point out. It's also not so easy to apply this Kula B'Zman Hazeh, because for other reasons as well. Shlomo Zalman says, what do we have here? That since our meals extend for a long time and things go quickly. Rabbi Eider quotes from Rav Henkin. Rabbi Eider was the first one to really write halacha svarim in English with Hebrew footnotes. So Rav Simcha Ben Kohn is sort of like the offshoot of Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider was the maverick in that genre of writing. So Rabbi Eider quotes from Rav Henkin, who raises some of these issues. And he says that nowadays we have many things on the fire, and we may get confused and move things around, which could cause Bishul D'Oraisa issues. So he says, I'm not comfortable, Rabbi Henkin said, I'm not comfortable leaving anything that's not fully cooked on a blech on Shabbos, because it's probably not the only thing on a blech, and you start moving things around, and if you move a raw piece of meat closer to the flame on top of a blech on Shabbos, then you just violate a Bishul D'Oraisa on Shabbos. So he said, it's just not a good idea. Okay, just not a good idea. But it's a heter that's on the books. So this is the heter that the Israeli Navy relies on. So what's the problem? I guess in order to approach the Palestinian boat, when they start driving the boat, the boat shakes, and the chalent pot would, you know, tip over, and they'd lose their chalent. So they need to take it off there and somehow wrap it up in something to hold it really tight so that they can then drive the boat. But the chalent is raw because it's Friday night. Chalent's not cooked yet. So if they take it off to then put it back on the plata, you can't, you know, the whole idea of Hachzara, of putting something back, if you ever take a Friday night challen, You know, I'm sure Chevra has done this, right? You take Friday night shalom. So you know, you got to daita lahachzir and oda biyado, and you know, like you know how to do that. But that only works if it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then it's bishul daraisa to put it back on the fire. And this is something that's not fully cooked because they're relying on gedra chayta, which means by definition it's not fully cooked on Friday night. So that's their issue. So what heter is he suggesting to put it back? What's the heter that he's suggesting? Well, he says, I know that if you are a member of Hatzalah and you go to a life-saving mission on Shabbos, right? You get a Hatzalah call on Shabbos, and you have to go pick up someone, you have to pick up the patient, bring him to the hospital, and then you're in the hospital, and it's like Friday night, and your family just sang Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil, and they were waiting for you to make Kiddush. And now it's Friday night, and if you can't go home from the hospital because the patient is safe now, he's in the hospital, you did everything you could, what heter do you have to drive home? So what do Hatzalah members do? They drive home, right? But what heter do they have to drive home? So the heter that they use is that we're afraid if we're going to tell Hatzalah members that they're not allowed to drive home every time they take a patient to the hospital, then when their radio goes off on Friday night, they're going to say, maybe someone else will take it. And no one's going to respond to calls because no one wants to ruin their entire Shabbos. So we allow driving home because it's a broader pikuach nefesh, because if we don't allow that, then it's going to cause problems in the first place. Then people aren't going to be careful about the pikuach nefesh in the first place. That's the heter that Hatzalah uses, essentially. So this guy is suggesting very cleverly, right, that we should use the same heter for the Navy. Because if we tell him you can't put the chalent back, then the guy's going to say, okay, then I'm not approaching the Palestinian boat, because I it may just be some fishermen that are just, you know, they're not necessarily a threat, so I'm not going to approach the Palestinian boat because I don't want to lose my chalent. So we may have to say, no, don't worry, you're not going to lose your chalent, because we want them to approach the Palestinian boat, you know, national security, you know, there could be pikuach nefesh. Good argument. It's pretty sharp. Okay, so what's the fault in the argument? So it's important to understand like a little bit of the background of that Hatzalah heter. First of all, it's not universally agreed upon, not by a long shot, that Hatzalah members are actually allowed to return. And also, I take exception to what he said. The way he phrased the question is just like doctors are allowed to come back on Shabbos. Not so pashut that doctors are allowed to come back on Shabbos. Meaning, what's the whole svara that Hatzalah guy would come back on Shabbos? That if you don't let him come back, then what? He's not going to go. Is that really a concern with the doctor? If the doctor doesn't go, you know what happens? He's fired. He goes because it's his job. He's not going because he's a volunteer. Hatzalah guy knows that that there are a million other Hatzalah volunteers in his neighborhood, and that, you know, it's power in numbers and whatever, and, you know, and he's a volunteer. He's not getting paid for it. So we need to do whatever we can to encourage him. But that doesn't need to be encouraged. His paycheck encourages him. So he's got to go. He's got no choice. So it's not so posh that applies to doctors. But anyway, this whole sugi is based on is really a Mishnah Masech Zeirvin. The Mishnah talks about a person who goes 2,000 amos outside of his city on Shabbos for a mutter reason. And then they tell him that whatever issue he went for, he goes outside Tchum Shabbos. They tell him that whatever issue he came for has been resolved. So now he's subject to the tchum of the local people where he is right now. Meaning normally when you go outside of your tchum on Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to go more than Dalet Amos. If you accidentally wander outside your tchum on Shabbos, so then you're stuck to those Dalet Amos for the rest of Shabbos. Exactly how you measure those Dalet Amos is machlokes tanoim and mishnah. Fine. But this guy went out berishlus, he had some major reason to go out of his tchum, so now he's allowed to go 2,000 amos, he's allowed to go whatever the tchum of the people around him now. Then the Mishnah says, kol ha-yotzim lahatzil chozrin l'makoman. Anyone who goes out to save lives are allowed to return on Shabbos, are allowed to go back to their place of origin on Shabbos. Says Tosfos on the spot, Erevin mem daladim beis, hadil ochashav leperkam debeitza, kabehanach gimel tiyitiru sofen mishum tchilasan. You know, there is a sugi in Beitza that tells us three examples of things that we allow because we're afraid of what would happen in the beginning if we didn't allow it to follow through at the end. Why isn't this on the list? It's because this one's too obvious to belong in the list of Maseches Beitza. The list of Maseches Beitza is unusual cases of whatever, of using animal hides and things like that, whatever, it's irrelevant. But the point is that the Chum decided that the early stages of these tasks meet such important needs, and if we don't allow you to complete them, then no one will ever begin them. So if we don't allow you to finish off the job, then no one will ever start the job, and it's really important that people start the job. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how can you return from a life-saving mission all the way home on Shabbos? There's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Gimel and Beis tells us, Chachama Haba Aliyaled, a midwife, right? A midwife that comes to help in a delivery. Vabala Hatzil Menadleka, or what's Habala Hatzil Menadleka? Fireman, firefighter. Uminagayas, Uminanahar, Uminamapolas, or any other rescue worker. Hare Elu Kaanshi Ha'ir V'yeshlem Alpai Mamul Kol Ruach. The Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that they're not allowed to go all the way back home. When they go and they travel to save a life, so then they're subject to the tchum of wherever they went to. But they're not allowed to go all the way back home. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How come the Mishnah in Eirvin says that you're allowed to go all the way back home? So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda Merav says that the Mishnah in Eirvin does not mean that you're allowed to go all the way back home. It means all people who go to rescue in battle, that they're allowed to go back, assuming that we know from the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah what it means to go back. That meaning, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah said you're only allowed to go 2,000 amos. So that's what the Mishnah in Eirvin meant also. We just didn't spell it out because, you know, we assume. What do you learn first in your life, Eirvin or Rosh Hashanah? How many of you have learned Maseches Rosh Hashanah at some point? Right? How many of you learned Eirvin at some point? Fewer, right? Meaning, you learn Rosh Hashanah before. The Rosh Hashanah is one of the kleiner Maseches, one of the little Maseches. So you learn that in the summer, you know, you go to Keli Masmidim, you learn Rosh Hashanah, you go to whatever, right? So you learn Rosh Hashanah in Erevin. It's either Daf Yomi or Smicha or, you know, Stam, you're a glutton for punishment, right? Meaning, that's when you learn Erevin. So the Mishnah assumes, of course, you know what it says in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, however, says that, no, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is talking about victorious battles. Jewish soldiers don't need to go back more than 2,000 amos. Mishnah Erevin is talking about a time where the Jews lose a battle, and it's still dangerous to stay where they are, to stay even within 2,000 amos. So they got to get home because they're nervous. So the Rosh quotes Maram Rutenberg that says that they're both right. A Jewish soldier can return all the way home if he's scared that the enemy might attack him, if he just stays within 2,000 amos. And when the Jews are stronger and that concern doesn't exist, he's only allowed to go 2,000 amos. So that's essentially what plays out. Now, there is a stira in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to have time to really go into this fully, but we'll try to do it briefly. The Rambam writes that people who go to save someone who's in danger can go back home with their weapons to where they started only if they're afraid they might be attacked. And then he says that other people who travel to save lives on Shabbos, like going to save somebody from drowning or something like that, can also go back all the way home, even more than 2,000 amos, if they're afraid they're going to be attacked. And the Shulchan Aruch passes like this as well. However, earlier on in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes that Jews who go to war on Shabbos to help other people out are allowed to go back to the place where they came from, carrying their weapons, so as not to cause danger in the future. Because we're afraid that if we don't let them go back, they're going to hesitate going in the first place. It doesn't seem to say that they have to fear attack. It seems to say earlier in Hilchos Shabbos, they can go back. If they came to save a life, they can go back. Not that they have to be fearful of an attack. So it's a bit of a steer, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that way also. So it's a bit of a stira in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, whether this svara exists, that the fact that I'm afraid you're not going to go next time is going to allow me to go all the way home, to travel all the way home, even past the Tchum Shabbos. Now, one thing should strike you right away. What are we talking about over here? What kind of Chil Shabbos are we talking about going home with? Tchum. Tchum is Drabanan, right? It's a big Chiddush to to say you're allowed to drive a car. When you drive a car, that's daraisa. Every time you hit the gas, every time you hit the brakes, you're doing malacha daraisa. Rabbi Belzon, you know Rabbi Belzon? Rabbi Belzon's brother is a surgeon in Florida. And Rabbi Belzon's brother said, when you know he has to go in sometimes on Shabbos, and he said, when I go in on Shabbos, would it be better to drive a Tesla? Should I spend money, more money, to buy a Tesla, so that it will be an electric car where it's probably only a Darabanan when you hit the gas, probably not a Daraisa. Like, how much money do I have to spend for that? So Belzon said, "Call Mabaynai." Yeah, sorry, Belzon. You got to spend all your money to do it. So he did. I don't know if he spent all of his money, but he bought a Tesla. Right, it's a pretty fun thing to do. We were actually in Eretz Yisrael last week. I was together with Rabbi Belzon, and we met the author of the Orcha Shabbos, Rav Rubin, who loved Rabbi Belzon. He just kept on saying, "Hey, what's your name again?" He's like, "Oh, Yesh Tamid Chacham Kaze BYU." You know, like he was very, very impressed with Rabbi Belzon. He was not particularly impressed with me, but he was very impressed with Rabbi Belzon. Was that? Oh, so we asked him this question. Do you have to buy, if you're a doctor and you're going to have to drive anyway, do you have to buy a Tesla? So he said, look, if you're driving anyway because it's pikuach nefesh, so we do a kala kal tchila, but that's when you have both options. But he said, I don't know how much more money you have to spend to buy a Tesla. If you have in the driveway, you have a Range Rover and a Tesla parked in the driveway. I'm assuming, you know, I'm from the Five Towns. You have a Range Rover and a Tesla parked in the driveway, so you take the Tesla, not the Range Rover, right? But if you don't have them both, yeah, okay, fine. But what was I saying? Oh, so from the Gemara, it's only clear, from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it's only clear that you're violating a Darabanan to return. But to violate a Doraisa to return? Not so pashut. So where does the Hatzalah Heter come from? Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Dalit, Simon Pei, was asked about Hatzalah, and he gives a whole original interpretation of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the whole sugya. We're not going to be able to get into it, but he says that yeah, you're allowed to go back from a life-saving mission on Shabbos. It should be noted, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says no, you're allowed to violate Tchum Shabbos sof pasuk. That's it. Not even other derabbanans. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was asked, can you get a ride back with a nachri? If you went to save a life, can the Hatzalah guy get a ride back with a Nachri? And he said, no! Amir al-Nachri is not mutter, Tchum is mutter. That's pretty limiting. Rav Shlomo Zalman has like a compromise approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I agree with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that a doctor coming back or anything like that is from outside is about the Tchum. But he says, you know, the Chassam Sofer allows the doctor to do Amir al-Nachri also, to come back from a rescue mission. So he says, Durabanans, Amir al-Nachri is allowed. Shlomo Zalman thought, I think that's the official position of Magen David Adom. I think Hatzalah in America follows Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe was Pesach Ador in America. So most Hatzalahs, I don't know if all Hatzalahs, maybe some of the Hasidish Hatzalahs don't follow Rav Moshe, maybe they have different Shittos. But Hatzalah, you know, many of the Hatzalahs follow Rav Moshe, so they drive back on Shabbos. Magen David Adom, I think they have non-Jewish drivers bring them back on Shabbos, following Rav Shlomo Zalman, not following Rav Moshe, nor following Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Then you wouldn't be allowed to come back at all. End of the day, it's not so pashut that you can apply this to doing daraisa. Certainly, bishul daraisa on Shabbos because it's tirsav mishum t'chlaso. It's also a little bit hard to believe. No, a little hard to believe that someone is going to risk national security because of his chalent. I know maybe the Navy food's not so good, and they, and it's really such a yetzer hara. But it's a little bit hard to believe that. So it would be an extreme extension of itirusof mishum t'chlasan to allow for bishul b'shabbos in this case. And it's hard to imagine that's what it, so probably we could do a big mitzvah and we could donate to the Israeli Navy chalent pots that seal tightly, so that when they tip over, they won't spill. And then, who knows, maybe we'll be saving the whole Medina by doing something like that. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.